The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we must take America back. Main Street,
I want to welcome you guys to the show. This is Darren Jonathan stepping in here for John Stad Miller today on the 4th of August on a Saturday, and we're almost into the year's end soon enough. What a quick year it's been. I'm currently calling in here from Ireland, so it's just gone past midnight tonight, and I hope everyone all over the world is having a good night and a good evening. And maybe a good morning soon enough as we go through these crazy, crazy, crazy times. I was just listening to the previous show while I was on the line. And, you know, being from Ireland, you know, we get to hear what's kind of going on in the US and all over the world and the chaos that's kind of been going on. And, you know, while I took the time to jump onto the show this evening a bit last minute, you know, we all kind of go all about our days. You know, it's interesting to think that there's people here on my side of the globe, they're all kind of settling down and ready to go to bed, and everyone on the US side, they're going about their day and, you know, maybe finishing work or getting ready for the weekend. And, you know, it's interesting, this flow and cycle is happening simultaneously all over the world at different moments. And I think a lot of times we can get very caught up in the trenches of information warfare, and we don't have enough time to actually get on the hill of it all. And I think that's where we need to be a lot of the time. And I think one of the quickest ways to get there is to study history, or to study his story, because only the victor is able to write the story. You never really hear the losing side story. And I think that's kind of the best place to start. It's history, because a lot of times you get to see things as how they are in the past. And, you know, the world is great if everything worked in hindsight, but it doesn't work that way. And I think, you know, what's happening now with Trump, you know, and even for myself, I have mixed feelings with him. There's no kind of joke that he's somehow maybe continuing on the Bush era, possibly, and with the possibility of going into some sort of war, which, well, let's hope and pray to God that it's not going to turn into a world war. But, you know, the lady was saying there in the last show, this has always been the way. You know, presidents promise stuff and never follow through, and then but the agenda continues, and the agenda has always continued. And I think with the States, as it's a bit unique in that fact, more so over here in Britain and Ireland, we're more of a cynical towards our politicians. We're more kind of cynical as regards to having any sort of belief in them, because we know that a lot of them are in one door and out the next, and they're put in there through money and influence to get in front of the cameras and say the right things. And, you know, maybe Trump is no less the same. He's just a bit more off the rail. And I'm not saying that as a person who doesn't like Trump, but, you know, I kind of find him quite funny at times and interesting, because I don't know what he's going to say next, you know, and he triggers so many people, especially people on the left. So I guess there's some good in that. But with the whole election system, you know, that was brought in mostly by England, because they realized that the peasantry would rebel against the crown, you know, every 4 to 5 years. So they brought in this voting system. And a lot of times when you voted, and especially in England, you would vote for Lords. And when you'd vote for a Lord, it was the peasantry who lived under that Lord that would vote for him. So they'd have the real incentive to want to vote for him. Only because if they didn't, and this is what usually happened, especially in Ireland, is to be kicked off their land. And so things don't really change. As the old saying adage goes, there's nothing new under the sun. And I think that's where we need to go back. It's, you know, how far back can we go in history and seeing the same patterns unveil? You know, if you look at Sumeria, one of the most advanced civilizations at the time, you know, with writing and maths and astrology, it was a very socialistic class. And they used to bake clay receipts. If you went and got a loaf of bread, they would bake you a receipt. And what's even more interesting, there's a good book called The Ascent of Money, is if you got a loan off one of these bankers who were the priest class, they would write down your loan on a clay tablet, and then they would trade them clay tablets to other people as, you know, kind of like the stock market or what you have today. And nothing really new happens. It's all because the oldest studied animal on the planet is human beings. We're the oldest studied animal on the planet. And once you know how to emote a human being, we don't change. We never change. Psychology of man never changes. And it's the same games are always being played, just on a more sophisticated level. And if anyone wants to call in, I'd love to hear you guys. The number is 800-313-9443. I'd like to hear what's been going on with you guys. Where are you at? Are you still in the trenches? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on where you think this is going and where we've been. Because it's, in my view, it's the individual's perspective and your grasp on reality that's really the true battle here. And at the end of the day, it's what you do with that reality and that truth. You know, do you speak out? Do you just hold back and say nothing? And I think there's a lot to be said for the one individual standing up amongst the group. There's that famous photo of that one guy in Germany who never did the Nazi salute. It's a famous photo. Everyone's doing the Nazi salute, and there's one man who choose not to. He eventually died in a camp, but you know, that photo now is so iconic, and so it lives on. His truth still lives on because he stood up for something he believed in, and you'll find this out through history. So yeah, any callers out there, it'd be great if you could call in. Let's have a conversation. I don't want this just to be all about me. This is all about you, the listeners and the callers. And again, you guys have to definitely support what RBN is doing here. It's beyond far one of the last true pioneers of independent talk radio and independent views. And what's interesting, if you see the truth movement, it's become monopolized and turned into what they call the alt-right, which is now a new commercialized version of the truth. You know, if you look at, and let's be honest, if you look at some of the big shows, you know, like let's say the Alex Jones show and other shows like that, and you were to look at them 10 years ago, very different content what's going on now. There's less outside opinion and it's more mainstream nearly. You know, conspiracy theories have become such a mainstream thing. It shows up everywhere as nearly as just this thing now. You know, the New World Order and Illuminati conspiracy theories, they're nearly just a household name. Everyone kind of jokes and laughs and jitters and they say, oh yes, and you know, it's even in video games. I've seen it in video games, and it's already a popular thing to believe in the conspiracy theories. But it's seen as a side joke and something to be not taken seriously. And just on that, on history, as I was talking, you know, for me it's interesting. History, or mostly civilization, really started in four areas. And these four areas had what you could say four main. We have a caller. The man behind a wire. Let's see if we can patch him through. Hello, caller, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
The man behind a wire.
Yes, I'm sure you know what that reference is, though.
Well, it's a bit late now for me tonight, but it does sound very familiar.
Irish song about the IRA. But I want to tell you how I enjoy your show quite a bit, and it's very enlightening. Your perspective, I am of Irish heritage, and I do enjoy listening to when you are broadcasting.
Thanks very much. Yes, I think the man behind the wire, hopefully on the next ad we can come back on that intro song just to relive a bit of patrioticness. So tell me, caller, where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. I don't know if that's a good... me trying to do an American accent.
I guess so, yeah. I have heard that. But question for you. I mean, I met an Irish bloke at a pub about a year or so ago. And back in the day, I used to always see those bumper stickers on the back of cars, 26 plus 6 equals 1. And he told me nobody even talks like that over there in Ireland.
No. I'll tell you something very interesting, and this is really at the heart of what's going on worldwide. Ireland has been a free republic for less than 100 years. And the media has made republicanism, which is, you know, our belief in a free Ireland, into a kind of joke, into a kind of, you know, it's a bit mocked now if you're a bit pro-Republican. And it's interesting how over, you know, three, four generations, Irish kind of nationalism has really died out in a bad way. And it's sad how quick indoctrination and propaganda on a submersive level.
Would you accredit that to the public school system that I have over there? And the media also?
Yeah, I think with the invasion, well, I think with the European Union's dictates on what has to happen in the education system, and then you also have coupled with that the bad reputation that Ireland has had with the Catholic Church, which, you know, there's so many views on that, and there's a lot of truth in it, because there's an old saying that when the UK left Ireland, the Catholic Church took over. So the repression was, one was by the sword and the other one was by the cross. And even though in Ireland at the time, I think religion has played a significant part of keeping people together, if left unchecked, like anything, it can become an abusive, tyrannical thing. And I think in Ireland at that time, it did. And the fact that we came up quickly into the European Union and got a bit of wealth under the country's belt, you could say, that a lot of people kind of, you know, looked back at republicanism as just this thing they didn't need anymore. We've got our freedom, but the real freedom is the freedom of the mind, and that's...
If I remember correctly, Ireland fought the British for like 500 years, isn't that correct?
Just over, yeah.
Yeah,
forgot.
How quickly 500 years goes away.
It's pretty sad, you know, for me as a... And what's interesting for me, I would have, you know, growing up, when you're in the system and when you're not awake, you kind of buy into the beliefs, and I didn't. For me, I'll tell you one of the interesting stories, and this is a bit of connection to the States, actually. There is a housing estate, and that's what we call them over here, estates, because no one really owns them, but they're mostly, you know, working-class people, middle-class people. There was this one house that used to fly an American flag, and it also used to fly an Irish flag, and I found it bizarre. because I don't never really seen anyone fly an Irish flag in Ireland. But when you go to the States, they're very proud. They're on people's front yard reports. And it's there's something really nice about that. But in Ireland, it's if you're, you, unless it's, you know, Ireland's in some soccer game or they're in some final or there's something going on, that's the only time you might see flags out. It's kind of it's quite sad, you know?
St. Patrick's Day Parade is bigger in America than in Ireland. Is that correct? St. Patrick's holiday is a bigger holiday in America than Ireland.
Well, I think it's bigger in most parts of the world. And that's understandable. I mean, like, you look, he's a patron saint, and we do have big celebrations, but it's kind of used as an excuse for everyone around the world to get a bit drunk. But what's even more interesting about St. Patrick, he wasn't even Irish. He was a Welsh man.
Wasn't he Italian?
No. What happened was he was Welsh. Apparently the story was he was Welsh. He was captured by Irish raiders. And then he left, and I think the story is he studied in Italy and then came back to help spread Catholicism across Ireland. It's interesting how some of our heroes in life are not even of your stock or people. And that's, even with the elite, I think you can find that a lot of times it's, you know, even Hitler wasn't even German. He wasn't from there. And I'm not saying there's anything bad with St. Patrick, but I think what I'm trying to say is we're given these icons, these leaders and these people that we take for granted. As an Irish man, I take St. Patrick's Day for granted, and I don't question it, and I don't ask anything about it. I just see it as this thing and this holiday. And it's the same with nationhood. For a lot of people, and I have a lot of envy for Americans, you know, you guys really buy into it more, and that keeps a nation together. But like you said, it's you know, the whole thing in Ireland, that republicanism is kind of dying out, you know?
Yeah, well, like I said, the 26 plus 6 equals 1. Most Irish Americans wouldn't even know what that means at this point.
No, and what you're referring to for everyone else, for the rest of the callers, what you're referring to is Ireland now is a 32-county country, including the Northern Ireland, which has 6, and there's 26 counties in the Republic of Ireland, and then there's 6 counties in Northern Ireland. But for us Irish people, that doesn't really exist per se, but it's still something that there's a lot of people who are still fighting for it, and there's still a lot of people who really, you know, they want it back, you know, and I think a time will come, or as they say in Gaelic, Chucky or Law, a time will come, where there probably will be a vote and a referendum, and they're talking about it now because of Brexit, to rejoin Ireland to a united country. But
right, yeah.
What's interesting, if it's done, it'll be done less out of republicanism and or a sense of pride in nationhood, but it'll be more out of a place of economics. And that's what's more interesting. And I think what America has, it has as a real strong aspect of who they are as a nation and what it means to be American to some extent. There's, in Ireland, we gained it, but excuse me, we're losing it so fast. And it's interesting how the pillars of morality and the pillars of the culture can be taken down.
Losing it right now. When do you think most countries in Europe are losing their nationalism right now?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, with Brexit, we're seeing a bit of a revival to some extent, and then what's happening in Italy right now.
Yeah.
But I think, for me, out of all the countries, as me as an Irishman, it's probably sadder to see it in my own country, because we haven't been a nation only since the 1930s, which is a very short time. So we got music coming in. Hopefully we can come back into your Man Behind the Wire song on the Wolf Tones. If you have any other questions, we can...
I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. Around the clouds, what goes up must come down.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. In the little streets of Belfast, in the dark of early morn, British soldiers came a-running, breaking little homes with scorn. Hear the sobs of crying children, dragging fathers from their bed. Watch the scene as helpless mothers, watch the blood fall from their heads. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Welcome back, guys. This is the John Stad Miller Show, and I'm Darren Jonathan filling in on this 4th of August, and that song was for the last caller, The Man Behind the Wire. And we were talking about how a sense of nationhood can, you know, what people fight for from one generation can be taken away in the next. And I think what's interesting in the time we live in today is we've probably never been in a more peaceful time on an outward basis. Crime is usually at its all-time low, and wars, to accept what's going on in some of the clashes in the Middle East, has been at its all-time low. If you look at the past 100 years, the last century that has passed, we've been in war countless, especially in Europe, where every, you know, generation, they were expected to go off and fight a war. And you'll find and there's lots of evidence to support this, that when a tribe of people, and a tribe can be a nation or it can be your local community, or the people you identify with, when you're under threat from something external, you will come together more securely, and you will fight to retain what you have more. It's only in times of security and comfort that we end up losing what we've fought for the most. And that's kind of what's happening today. You can see it worldwide, where there's this like a lagging sense of just a nothingness happening. People are just becoming a bit laxy-daisy. And add that to the bombardment of information that we have daily. A lot of people are just choosing to opt out because they don't know where to begin to fight, you know, and they don't know what to fight for. Do they fight for their nation? Do they fight for their community, their tribe? It's hard to know anymore because we don't have a big external enemy. There's no, you know, there's no new enemy like communism or the Nazis to fight. Or you're not fighting the British anymore. And there's nothing that gives you that sense of belonging. And that's, I think, and especially with the prevalence of the internet, it's kind of taken this away from us. So these layers on top can help erode away a sense of nationhood. And I've seen this happen in Ireland, where anyone who's a staunch Republican, you could say, is probably more than likely to be laughed at to some extent. And it's a shame, because it was not many generations ago, like literally my grandfather and his father, that were under rule of Britain and felt repression. And in a few generations, that's completely gone. And there's a safety net here for people. And it's just interesting to see how fast that can go. And I can see it happen in the States, but not so much, because their whole philosophy was built on this spirit of being a rebel and, you know, doing things your own way and having a say, having the freedom to fail. And I think that's what's more and more important, is having able to fail, because that's what real freedom is. I read a great quote, I think it was by, I can't place his name now, it's a bit late in the evening for me today, it's 12 o'clock here in Ireland, but it's freedom and equality are juxtaposed to each other, because equality kind of says that there's a safety net for you to fall on, but freedom means there's nothing, there's freedom to fail and do things your own way, and not have anyone there to nanny you and bully you and tell you the way you should do. And there's a whole, that old saying of a nation is born stoic but dies Epicurean, and you can see that with most nations all throughout history. They lose a sense of self, the men stop becoming men, they don't want to protect or defend their families or their nation, and eventually that erodes away and is taken over by a greater nation. And we actually have a caller, Jim, let's see if we can get Jim back through.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hello, Jimmy.
I'm from upstate. Jimmy lad.
Is that what they say, Jimmy lad? How are you, my boy?
Yeah. Well, top of the morning to the rest of the day myself. Oh, my father, he'd be throwing the pants off and on. But I really truly enjoy your show there. And hopefully you have some success here. My story is very interesting, you know. My father, came over here in a potato famine. And my great-grandmother, I should say. And my father served in World War II. And
Jim, let's see if we can get you on the next side of this call.
Okay, sir.
Got music coming in. If you can hold on, that'd be great. Again, it's the John Stad Miller Show. I'm Darren Jonathan filling in.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When I returned, how my eyes have burned to see how a town could be brought to its knees by the armored cars and the bombed out bars and the gas that hangs on to every
back, guys. This is Darren Jonathan again filling in for on the John Stadminer show today on the 4th of August. And just before the last break there, we had Jimmy Bai from upstate New York. How are you doing?
Very good. Oh, that was Luke Kelly. You'd be a billionaire.
It was the master himself, Luke Kelly. That's Luke it Kelly indeed. You know, the songs like that,
yes,
now, when I hear songs like that, they can, you know, people would consider Irish songs to be very happy and joyful and jiggery and dancing, and that's only really half the story. There's another side of songs that can bring a person to tears, and that would be one of them for me.
Luke Kelly would do that. Oh, God.
So, Jim, you were saying you had was it a grandfather who went served in World War II?
Oh, yeah, my father. My father served in World War II. He brought a German bride here in New York. And I'm a byproduct of World War II. You know, and there's an interesting phenomena that happens when, you know, you have a... It's a war mentality. And I've been always wishing I could write a brilliant song like Luke Kelly there. It would, you know, encapsulate that whole thing. You know, it's just it's a beautiful thing. You know, my mom, you know, what happened was my mom passed away, and I brought her body back to Germany in her ashes. You know? And my father was quite proud of that. And
well, tell me, Jim. What was your father like when he got back from serving? What did he tell you? Any stories? Or?
No, my father never ever speak about the war. But occasionally he would mention things. But you know, you can't hide those bad things that happened here. But my father loved my mother, and war is hell. It's pure hell, and. I'm sorry to get emotional on you, but this is
no
what
problem,
happened.
Jim. It was probably the song that sparked it.
Yeah, it got me. You know.
Well, you know, there's something. Look, I think there's something very interesting in music that's able to move you to a point of tears, and I think there's something very beautiful in that. And I don't think in life we have many opportunities to allow that to come out. And especially men, we're stoic enough, but there's times when it's okay to have a tearful cry, because we're doing it for our past, and it's what reminds us of where we are.
Well, here's the bottom line. He was a sergeant major. He was in the World War II. And one of the most beautiful stories about my father that I'll always remember is that he went to the church in Germany, and my uncle said he left his arm, he left his gun. He would never go into a church with a gun. Never go into church with a gun. Never. And I always remember that story. My uncle told me, he said, to him, he left his arm in front of the door. He couldn't go inside. My father could have been court-martialed. But he left his gun in the front door. That's beautiful.
And I think, you know, what something like that is nearly metaphorical, because I think in life people never even get to pick up their gun. You know, their weapon of truth, and there is times when you have to leave it at the door. And
absolutely,
you know,
especially
I think
when you go in God's church. Never bring a gun into the church. Never. I'm sorry to be too emotional on you here, lad. But love me, Pop.
And, Jim, I guess the question is, what, you know, for him, what do you think You know, what was the reason why he went to war? Was there something more for him, or, you know, what drove him to keep going?
My father was an orphan. He came here in the potato famine in New York. His mom died. His father died, and he was an orphan. He was raised by his aunt. And he was a merchant marine. Then he joined the military. And then he went into World War II. And he brought my mom back to the States. A great controversy. I grew up, you know, when I was a kid. And, you know, I'd see a swastika on my front lawn. And it was like, it's me mom. No. You know, he brought her back here. But into, you know, American culture.
Jim, I'm never a man to interrupt another man when he's shedding a tear.
I'm sorry, sir.
Not at all. No, I'm not, because I think, you know, it's important to feel other people's sadness. You know, it's what keeps us human. You know, the enemy they don't have any way of emoting themselves to feel another person's emotions. You know, what's interesting, and thanks very, very much for the call, Jim. I'll
start
the whisper
for
you.
God bless you, bro.
No problem. Thanks very much, Jim. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, sir. I was saying that I think it's more important to have more moments like this, because it's so easy nowadays to hold in emotions and have a happy face and pretend like things are not wrong when clearly they are. We all know deep down that they are. But what's the difference between us and them and the enemy, you know, the psychopathic elite, you could say, is they don't have these feelings. There's a great documentary, if anyone remembers, the Iceman, Richard Kukulski, the famous hitman in America. You know, if you watch any of his interviews, he, and like a lot of these psychopathic types, they had double lives. You know, on one hand, were a good family man and an outstanding citizen within their community, but beneath that, they were a stone-hearted killer that wouldn't think twice or shed a tear and didn't really care about what they've done. They didn't emote with other human beings. And I think the last caller, Jim, him getting emotional is, and for us as listeners, to allow him to do that as well is important, because it shows that we understand pain when we hear it. It registers with us as humans. And, you know, what's interesting about the Iceman, Richard Kukulski, the serial killer hitman, he was asked, how did he feel about murdering? He said he didn't. He didn't feel. And we think that these psychopaths and killers are, you know, they're the ones that are locked up in prison, but these are the ones who go for power. And a lot of times it's an inbred trait that's kept within the family. These elites, you know, it can be bred into them. Again, guys, if you want to call in, I'd love to hear what's going on with you. What do you think is the most important topic that people should be covering? The number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And, you know, just touch back on something I was talking about earlier with regards to civilization, because we need to go back into real history beyond what we're given in school and beyond what we're given even in the alternative media. They don't go back as far as they need to go to show people what really happened without mixing it with the weird and wonderful, the reptilians and the aliens, because that's a form of counterintelligence as well. And that's a whole other story. But just before I take the next caller, we have Jerry in line. Just before I take you, I just want to finish up a pint. And, you know, I was saying about civilization started four main areas of the world. You had Mesopotamia, Mesoamerica, Asia, and actually maybe it was three. It's a bit late in the night for me. So you have Mesoamerica, Mesopotamia, and Asia. Yeah, these three prominent places were to say civilization came out of. And what's interesting about this is that's when man became nomadic, from nomadic to civilized, which is he started working off the land. And here's what's the fascinating thing about this, is they grew crops, and the crops, what they ate, they would make, you know, a form of bread, or they'd make a form of maize if it was Mesoamerica, or rice in Asia. And this food type is a very, very low graded food type that wouldn't give you a lot of sustenance, or wouldn't give you a lot of nutritional value, but it would give you enough energy to make the work, keep going at the work. And what's even more fascinating about this is the second thing that comes on the scene throughout history in as regards to what people can eat and consume is alcohol. It comes right out of the same stock of what people were making from the land. And the same food as well feeds the animals. So that should tell you where the priest class and the nobility, what they thought of the masses of people. But they would make alcohol from the same substances. So after your long day of trawling in the field, you would have your bread or whatever, and then you'd have your swig of alcohol to numb whatever pain you had, and then you'd go back out to work again. And nothing has changed. It's just these days they're trying to, you know, legalize certain drugs, you could say, to bring you back into the same state. You know, people are sometimes so happy with their own slavery. You know, I have a lot of friends who are very pro weed being legalized, and that's fine. There's a lot of medical benefits and a lot of things that can be done with it, but think of the time it's come in. It never came at a better time to keep the people more shrouded in their own distraction. And it's interesting. You always have to question every movement that comes, because if it's been tried in the past, it can work again in the future. So, let's take Jerry there. Jerry from Chicago, is that right?
Yes, it is. Jerry from Chicago. And hearing your Irish brogue, which is a slight brogue, but you still have one anyway.
I got to enunciate the words.
Well, I used to play darts. This is going back about 22 years ago. Pub darts. And I got on an Irish team, and I was the only Yank on the team. And they told me, says, you know, Miller, we don't really care too much about you Yanks, but you throw a good set of darts, so we like you. And it took about 5 pints of Guinness to understand what my teammates were talking about on an average evening. And just to give you a hint, I was ranked 11th in the United States in steel-tipped darts back
wow.
in 1996.
You'd be a legend over here in the bars.
You guys are good in darts, because I guess the game you have over there is called rings, and you have to put a wooden ring on a peg from 7 or 8 feet away or something like that, which is an unbelievable challenge. But, I got to be honest with you. I mean, this brings back old memories and everything else like that, and I've heard your show couple of times, and I listen intently and try to catch every word, but I gotta be honest with you, when I didn't have 5 or 6 pints in me, I would watch my teammates talk to me, and I would watch their lips, and it seemed like they were talking in a fast motion, faster than I could keep up with. trying to absorb what they were trying to say to me, and I just nodded a lot. I mean, I think the Irish language is pretty cool and everything else like that, and I shop, like I said, I played darts out of quite a few Irish bars, and I was.
There seems to be a pattern. There seems to be a pattern here with a lot of callers calling in saying they've met Irish people in bars, and we're really not living up to our stereotype here.
Well, you know what? I don't mean to put it that way, but the guys that went to the bars to play darts.
Well, Jerry, we just have music coming in. I'm going to tell you the little secret of why you'll meet an Irish person in the bar. There's a little secret to this, and I'll tell you guys on the other side. Again, this is the John Stad Miller Show, and I'm Darren Jonathan, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me and what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor and he agrees with me. It's all.
Welcome back to the show, guys. It's the John Stad Miller Show on the 4th of August. I'm Darren Jonathan, just stepping in from. We have Jerry on the line, and just before the break there, I was having a little think, just kind of, you know, with the state of affairs and even alternative radio, we can, you know, I think the world is full of bad news, and, you know, we can think bad about what's happening, I think, all the time. I was thinking, what's better to add into Jerry's story of him being a world-class darts player, where he met a lot of Irish people in bars, of course, is I thought I'd add a quick little joke for everyone. Maybe you guys might like this. So here's a joke for everyone to lighten them up on the day. So an Irish priest is driving along the country road when a policeman pulls him over. He immediately smells alcohol on the priest's breath and notices an empty bottle of wine in the car. He says, "Have you been drinking?" "Just water," the priest says. The cop replies, "Then why do I smell wine?" The priest looks back and sees the bottle and says, "Oh God, he's done it again." So there. Well, that is a good enough one for everyone. And just I'll give you one more if you didn't like that one. This is for Jerry here. Jerry, what do you call an Irish man sitting on a couch?
A couch potato?
That's close. Patio furniture. Oh, my wit is not with me today. My wit is not with me today. But Jerry, I was going to tell you, what's funny is you usually meet Irish people in Irish bars, and it's not because we're in love with a drink, which is that's one. But what's great about a good Irish bar in a country, which they're all over the world, is they're like mini embassies for Ireland. If you're an Irish person, and I go to a new city, and I was recently in Texas, just there in April, I'll go find a local Irish bar, the real local Irish bar, not the old other named Irish bars. They're not Irish at all. But you find a nice Irish bar, and you'd meet the barman or the manager or someone there who's Irish, and they'll give you the lowdown of the city. They will tell you all you need to know, who you need to avoid, and you know that's why Irish people are synonymous with Irish bars, or you might bump into a few no matter where you are in the world. It's because they're like an embassy to us and a small slice of home. So I guess I might be making excuses for the alcoholism that's rampant in Irish culture, but it's always good to, no matter where you go in the world, there's an Irish bar there and a welcoming smile and a bit of fun to be had in the bar.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You don't have to make excuses because one of the Irish bars that I practiced at, they had an IRA meeting once a week. And these guys would all go down to the basement, and there'd be 30 or 40 of them that went down to the basement and everything else like that. And I questioned about that, and they kept me in the dark about it, I'll tell you what, learning a little bit about history over the last 8-10 years, I got to be honest with you, the Irish aren't wrong, and I'm 25% Irish on my grandmother's side of my father.
Well, Jerry, if you want to hold on again, we got the next break coming in, so it'll be only a minute or two, and we'll get back to what you're saying there.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll hang out one more time.
Great. Good to have you here.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The
because you can handle the truth.